7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In these verses, which we have read this evening, we are given a sample, a specimen of the ministry of John the Baptist. The prophet Isaiah said that John would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, mentioned there in verse 4. And being that lone voice, speaking for Jehovah in a land of ungodly political leaders and carnal religious leaders, aptly described by the same prophet as dumb dogs, they cannot bark. Isaiah 56 and verse 10. Well, John the Baptist, certainly no dumb dog, for his voice was heard by all they who went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, Matthew 3 verse 5. And he left his hearers in no doubt about their lamentable and lost state before a holy God, as we have just read in verse 7. And he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? We can look at these words, and by way of introduction, we can see that John was a plain speaker. He was a plain speaker. No one had to ask him what he meant. He didn't use words that people didn't understand. He didn't use language that went over the heads of the people. Rather, John was a plain speaker. We can see from this verse 7 that he was also a very pointed speaker. When he said, O generation of vipers, and we are told then said he to the multitude, he pointed to them, as it were, and referred to them as a generation of vipers. He was very pointed. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And if he was a pointed speaker, and he was a plain speaker, we can say that he was most certainly a powerful speaker. He must have been, for multitudes were drawn out to hear him. And remember, he didn't have a pulpit in a temple or a synagogue or a palace or even a church building. He preached out in the wilderness. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And without a doubt, when John was brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, he was brought to the kingdom and to a place that was, in many respects, a spiritual wilderness. And he preached with power, and people were drawn to that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That's where the power came from. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And the man who's filled with the Holy Ghost will be a pleasant speaker, an appointed speaker, and a powerful speaker as John was. Now, looking at the words of verse 7, our text for this evening, and looking at the words that came from the lips of John, some today might say John wasn't very loving. Some might say he should have toned down his rhetoric. He should have used softer speech. Well, Horatius Bonner, in one of his hymns, put it this way: "Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thine earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men?" And what Bonner was saying there, as long as the Master praises you, when you come to minister the word, that's all that matters. And the Lord will commend the man who will be faithful in declaring as John was. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 7. And here's the Lord, and he's speaking about John the Baptist. And in verse 24 of Luke 7, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts." That wasn't John the Baptist. That's what the Lord's saying. That's not John the Baptist. Verse 26, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Now, keeping in mind what John told those who came out to hear him speak and came to his baptism, this is what the Lord said about John. No matter what men might have said about John, and we know that there were those who didn't appreciate what John said, Herod being one of them. But the Lord said of John, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Take that word prophet. There is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That word means a public expounder. One who expounds the word. One who preaches. And in his preaching, he expounds the word. And so as far as John's ministry was concerned, he didn't deliver little homilies. He didn't deliver little sermonettes. He expounded the word. He went into the depths of God's word. And that is what is needed today, the expounding of the word. And John expounded the word as did his master. Because we read in Luke 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Same word. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, when you expound the word, that involves all of the scriptures. And we know that today there are so many, and they have, well, they might as well have cut out the Old Testament. Because they never refer to the Old Testament. Oh, it's out of date. And they never refer to the Old Testament. Well, the Lord expounded in all the scriptures, and the Lord at that time only had the Old Testament. And John only had the Old Testament. And so John expounded the word. He was a public expounder. He preached the word, and in preaching the word, he expounded the word. And it was preaching such as we have a specimen of here in our reading tonight that the Lord Jesus commended John for. What did Horatius Bonner say? Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The master praises. What are men? That's what we all labor for. The well done of God. John the Baptist received the well done of God. Well done, John. So what do we have then? What are the marks of a faithful minister of the word? Well, we see from the portion we've read tonight in John chapter 3, and in particular this text of Scripture, we see the boldness of John the Baptist. The boldness of John the Baptist. Looking at the words of our text, I don't think anyone would doubt or disagree with the fact that John the Baptist was bold in his preaching. O generation of vipers! Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Remembering the words of Solomon. Solomon said, the righteous are bold as a lion. And John the Baptist was bold as a lion because he was serving the lion of the tribe of Judah. Proverbs 28, verse 1. We see the boldness of John when we consider, first of all, his congregation. We're told about his congregation. Then said he to the multitude. There's his congregation. And we have already seen how they went out from Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. So it's quite a congregation. Now, any man may have been tempted, many another preacher may have been tempted to tone down his language, to soften his approach. And he would have said, well, I have a multitude, I have a great congregation here, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to say something that will offend them and they'll go away and leave me. The Lord Jesus himself experienced that. There were those who didn't like the preaching of Christ. John chapter 6. They didn't like the preaching of Christ, and many, not just one or two, many of his disciples went and walked no more with him. I often think about because, as we have referred to often, Christ is also the same feelings as we have, and how the Lord must have felt when many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, just like John, the Lord John was not interested in being popular, but he was certainly interested in being truthful. He didn't tone down his message for fear of losing those who had come to hear him preach. John had been called to serve God. He had been called to be a messenger of the Lord. And that's what John intended to be. The only person that John was interested in pleasing was the Lord, and he did. He reminds me, just at this particular juncture, of Micaiah the prophet. There in 1 Kings 22, and verse 14, I have these words into the front cover of my Bible. It's 1 Kings 22, verse 14. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And so John was called to serve the Lord and to preach the truth and declare the truth and be a faithful messenger and minister of the word. And he most certainly was, and the Lord commended him for it. The Apostle Paul and there in Galatians 1, in verse 8, Paul here is dealing with those who claim to preach another, who preach the gospel. But Paul says it's not the gospel of Christ. For we read in verse 8, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." That's strong language. But Paul used strong language when he was dealing with those who preached another gospel. That was not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And any man who preaches a gospel that's not the gospel of Christ, who does not preach Christ, does not exalt Christ, does not tell people you need to be saved through the blood of Christ, he's preaching another gospel. And the Word of God tells us that a woe will be pronounced upon them. See the importance. Being faithful to the word and being faithful to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, Paul once again speaking. And there in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, in verse 4. And here we have powerful words. These words show us how important the truth of God is. Paul says in verse 4, "But as we were," mark the word, "but as we were allowed God to be put in with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Mark those words. We didn't nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. Didn't seek praise and the glory of man. Paul says, I came to preach the word that God allowed me to handle, allowed me to preach. He put me in trust, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And if the Lord is pleased to trust us with the truth of the gospel, we better handle it correctly. Paul did not go out and preach with the enticing words of man's wisdom, or use flattery. I think safe enough to say that's the way it is in many places today. People go to church and their places of worship, but they don't want to have their sin rebuked. Remember what we said about one of our ministers who had a man attend his church for a period of time? And then he disappeared. And a member of that congregation happened to see him in the town somewhere and said, oh, we've missed you at church. What's wrong? Go there. Oh, I'm not. Well, he said, feeling. Is that what a person goes to the house of God for? To get a warm, fuzzy feeling? Or does he go to the house of God for the truth? The truth. I'll not give a sinner a warm, fuzzy feeling. The truth of God's word will tell that sinner, you need to escape the damnation of hell. You need to have sin dealt with. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's the preaching of John. That was the preaching that the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, commended. I say John, the Lord said John was a prophet. I say he's more than a prophet. Remember what Paul told Timothy. Those words so often repeated at ordination services. Preach the word. Preach the word. There's nothing else there. It's not preach the word and something else. It's preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That'll not give anybody a warm, fuzzy feeling. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And that's what true worshippers want. That's what true worshippers want. They want to be told the truth and the truth about themselves. And if it means a rebuke, if it means a reproof, then the true worshipper will say, will thank the Lord for it and say, Lord, I needed that. Because that will help me in the work of sanctification. That will make me more like the Savior. That will lead me into a holy life. That will make me more spiritual. I need to be told about my sin, about my worldliness, about my carnal. I need to be told that. It's the kind of preacher John was. He's a faithful minister of the Word. We notice not only John's boldness, or in John's boldness, we see his congregation, then we see his condemnation. Matthew tells us what group of people John actually addressed. Here in Matthew and Luke 3, verse 7, we are told that he spoke to the multitude and said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath? Matthew informs us. Matthew narrows it down for us and tells us who he was actually addressing, who came out in that multitude of people. Matthew 3, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, O generation of vipers. So John was actually addressing these religious men, Pharisees and Sadducees. The Lord dealing with than the Lord Jesus himself. We are from of Matthew in chapter 23. Matthew 23, verse 13. It's the Lord speaking. Woe unto you, Pharisees. Hypocrites. Talk about pointed preaching. This is pointed enough. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. That's some preaching, isn't it? Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides. Remember, these were religious. And here the Lord refers to his 23, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 29, woe unto you, Pharisees, hypocrites. But then notice how the Lord concludes this Pharisees and these scribes. Verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation, language, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? So John preached the same message that Christ preached unto the same people. These men who used their religion as a cloak, You've only to read what the Lord said about those Pharisees. We have just given the headings. But look at what the Lord said underneath those words, "Woe unto you." And you will see that those scribes and the Pharisees, they used their religion as a cloak to cover their hypocrisy and their sinful practices. And they needed to be told the truth, therefore. So the Lord and his forerunner declared them to be a generation of vipers. Listen. There is no serpent that is more poisonous and venomous than a viper. And isn't it interesting then that the Lord himself used that terminology, a generation of vipers? What was the Lord saying? The Lord was saying they were putting forth their poison. They wouldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven themselves, prevented everybody else or saw others doing the same. And the Pharisees were spreading their poisonous teaching of salvation by works. That's why the Lord called them vipers. Pharisees was a salvation by works, keeping the law. What about the Sadducees? They were spreading their poisonous teaching that there was no heaven and no future punishment. Their poisonous belief included a denial of the resurrection. We know that from Matthew 22, verse 23. They denied the resurrection. They taught that the soul perished along with the body. So when a man died, his soul died with him. Even though Paul said, it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Could such religious teaching and teachers as these go forth without being condemned? Because all that the Pharisees and Sadducees taught was contrary to the truth of God's word. Contrary to all that Christ taught and all that Christ came to do. And so if the Sadducees denied the resurrection, they denied that Christ rose from the dead. If the Pharisees preached salvation by works, by keeping the law, then as far as they were concerned, the Lord's work on Calvary was all in vain. That was a poisonous message from the Pharisees and a poisonous message from the Sadducees. John the Baptist did not hesitate in referring to these false religionists as a generation of vipers. And remember again, the Lord said, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. The Lord commended him. J.C. Ryle, first Protestant bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle said, well would it be for the Church of Christ if it possessed more plain speaking ministers like John the Baptist in these latter days. J.C. Ryle lived quite a number of years ago, and he was crying for plain preaching then. How much more do we need today? Sinners need to be told the truth. You think of the dear souls in places of worship today. And as they sit in their pew, and a man in the pulpit doesn't preach the truth, those individuals who sit in the pew, they're actually sitting on the edge of a precipice. A precipice that is called hell. And at any moment, they can pass from time into eternity. And the man in the pulpit doesn't tell them they need to be saved. They need to flee from the wrath to come. John 3 verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's the message that needs to be preached to sinners. Anywhere, everywhere, no matter who they are. "He that believeth not is condemned already." Doesn't matter what a man does. Doesn't matter how he seeks to live. He's condemned. He's already condemned. That simply means he's as good as being in hell already. And only Christ can save him from going down into the bottomless pit. We notice also not only the congregation and the condemnation, we see also the challenge. John challenged those Pharisees and Sadducees with the words, "Who hath warned you?" He challenges them. "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" They had come to be baptized. Can you believe that? After what we have just learned, the teachings of the Pharisees and the teachings of the Sadducees, they had come to be baptized. But they hadn't fled from the wrath of God to come. They were still in their sin. That's why Paul or John said, "O generation of sinners." He didn't call them children of God. He didn't call them saints, he called them generation of vipers. "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In other words, John is challenging them as to where they stood with God. "You've come to be baptized. Well, tell me, where do you stand with God? Did you flee from the wrath that was to come? Did you flee to Jesus Christ?" Of course they didn't. For those Pharisees and Sadducees had their part in crucifying Christ. See, that's the duty of the minister of the gospel. To do what John the Baptist did, to challenge men and women about where they stand with God. As Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." There's a woe that Paul talked about. A woe that would be poured out upon him if he preached not the gospel. He knew it was necessary to tell sinners their lost, undone condition, and that there was a remedy, and the remedy was Christ. He knew it would be upon him if he failed to do so. See, this is serious business. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, through Jeremiah. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. Again, we see how has trusted me with the gospel. He has allowed me to handle the gospel. He has allowed me to preach the gospel. As he said in another place to Timothy, that he thanked the Lord, counted him faithful in putting him into the ministry. And he had entrusted him with the gospel. Woe is unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. If sheep are being well fed, they'll not be looking out and going somewhere else. If they're well fed, 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with an excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come with excellency of speech. Remember, the Lord called Moses to be Israel's leader. And yet Moses had an impediment in his speech. But the Lord nevertheless called Moses to be his minister in those days. I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, Paul says, my sole business is this, to see you saved. It's all I'm interested in. I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, of the Spirit and of power. Faithful minister of the word. Paul spoke plainly, preached the truth, declared the gospel, and all he was interested in was determining that that soul that he ministered to would be saved and go at last to heaven. You see, all who Paul preached to, all who John preached to, he wanted to make sure that they heard the truth. He didn't want anybody to say on the day of judgment, you didn't tell me the truth. You didn't tell me the truth about myself. That accusation would never be laid against John the Baptist or men like Paul. I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Once again, remember what the Lord said. Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's just our first point. So we'll have to leave the next couple of points for the next time. We've dealt tonight with the boldness of John. Let's pray that the Lord will raise up men like John the Baptist. Men like Paul. Oh, there'll never be another Paul. There'll never be another John the Baptist. But my, the Lord can use them, individuals, as he used Paul and used John the Baptist, through their faithful ministry of the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we come to thee in the precious name of the Savior. We thank thee for thy truth. And, O Lord, we know we have no other message. Whatever the world wants, whatever the world desires, Lord, we have no other message. The lifting of precious. O Lord, help us ever to do that. Help us, Lord, we pray. For of ourselves, Lord, we're weak, even as Paul. And yet, there's a greater man than any of us. Yet Paul lamented his own weakness. But, O Lord, how thou dost make him a mighty man, a faithful minister of the word, because, Lord, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. Lead us on with thee. And even, Lord, this week, may we have the opportunity to tell somebody about the Savior. Now, Lord, be with us as we part the one from the other. Keep us near the cross. Keep us safe in all our travels. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows